Good morning, everyone, and I'm excited to be with you guys. It's a privilege. Definitely don't feel worthy to share the Word of God, but I'm thankful that we have the Holy Spirit who dwells in us, who wants to empower us to do things that we normally wouldn't do on our own. And I'm just thankful, as Ed was singing, that we can be children of God, to be beloved of the King. And that's really what we're going to talk about. We're going to go to 2 Samuel chapter 9, 2 Samuel chapter 9. So as we turn there, let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, that it's living and is active and sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, is able to divide between soul and spirit and joint and marrow, and so discerner of the thoughts, the intents of the heart. And I know for one, I would love, Lord, truth and things to be brought forth. And we thank you that, Lord, as was shared the other day, that we are, Lord, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, Lord, and that your truth sets us free. So we ask that you administer to our hearts, Lord, those that are downcast this morning. May this be encouragement, or those that maybe, those of us, we don't have a right perspective of our King. May you put that perspective right. So we love you, Lord. Fill us with your Spirit. May we see you in the midst of this text. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, in chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians, it says, Paul speaks and he says, these things have happened for an example for us that we can learn from them. And he's speaking of the Old Testament and the Israelites and things that we can learn from. And it's commonly known as types, right? There's lots of types in the scriptures, which are like, they're pictures, they're examples. And so often they don't fulfill exactly 100% of what they're wanting to show, but they're just an amazing foreshadowing. It's an amazing just undergirthing of understanding of who our King is, who our Lord is, or, you know, what not to be or what to be. So we're going to look at a guy by the name of Mephibosheth, right? Mephibosheth. I'm sure I'm messing it up, but that's kind of how I'm going to say his name. So who was this guy? We're going to dive into it a little bit. So we're right in the middle of 2 Samuel chapter 9, and David. And David's been, you know, he's taken the rightful place of the throne, and he's kind of been rocking and rolling, and we're going to see where he's at right now. So Samuel, chapter 9, 2 Samuel. Then David said, is there yet anyone left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, you know, I'm personally somebody who loves David. David has like super highs, and he also has super lows in a couple chapters here where gargantuan sin, right? Big time sin. But David was somebody who was passed over, it appeared, by even his father, right? As, you know, as the king was, you know, the throne was supposed to come to the house of Jesse. And, you know, he goes through all Samuel goes through all the brothers of David, and he says, is there anyone left? And, you know, and Jesse's like, I don't know. And then he's like, oh yeah, there's my son David, but he's out taking care of the sheep. Right? He's kind of it seemed like he was a cast off and nobody, at least in that point. But we also see David, you know, fighting lions and bears. We hear stories of that and standing before Goliath and all this. Just a man of faith, right? A man who danced before the Lord. He was just an excited guy, just an amazing dude. But he says, is there anyone in the house of Saul that I may show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Now, this is major because Jonathan was super, super close to David. They were like, they were tighter than brothers, right? There was a love that was there, and it was a good love. It was a right love, that this tightness that was there. And Jonathan really had the next reign. He had the next opportunity after Saul to be king. But we see even Jonathan's heart that he said, you know what? I'm going to pass this over because I see the anointing upon David. So we see the love and the relationship between Jonathan and between David. And we know that Jonathan died in battle, and Saul also died in battle. And if we were to read previously here, I believe it's chapter 4, that there was a boy by Mephibosheth at age 5 when this happens, that, you know, the kingdom's being overturned to David, the battling's happening, you know, his dad dies. And guess what? Mephibosheth, in the haste to run out of there, he gets picked up and carried, and he gets dropped, and both of his ankles get shattered, right? His feet get maimed. He gets broken. So that's who we're going to find out with this guy. But he says, David says, I want to show kindness, goodness, which is God's heart, to Jonathan. Now there was a servant, verse 2, of the house of Saul, whose name was Ziba. And they called him to David. And the king said to him, are you Ziba? And he said, I am your servant. The king said, is there not yet anyone in the house of Saul to whom I may show the kindness of God? And there it is. It's the kindness of God. We have a good God. We have a God that is kind. And so often we can forget this. And this is really what we're going to talk about. And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. Now think about this, because when one ruling kingdom were to step out of being that and a new kingdom were to come into place, typically what would happen is they would completely wipe out the previous bloodline, because, you know, it's possible that they would say, hey, no, we're the actual bloodline. We deserve to rule. We deserve to reign. And so it would make sense for David to come in and say, all right, is there anybody left in Saul? We're gonna kill him. All right, but this was not what happens. Right? This is completely opposite. And for you and I, as we look at this type, as I mentioned, as we look at this picture, you and I were of another king. We were born into Adam, the prince of this world, right? The God of this world, the prince of the darkness, right? We were born into Adam, and we were separated from our king. And we didn't understand. I don't know, for me, I didn't understand the goodness of my king. So this is what's going on. He said, then the king said, is there not yet anyone in the house of Saul to whom I may show kindness of God? And Ziba said to the king, there is still a son of Jonathan who is crippled in both feet. Now think about that, because that's you and I. We have been crippled by the fall. Now Jonathan was crippled by the drop of the fall, but we have been crippled by the fall of sin. When Adam and Eve rebelled against God, who was good, but we rebelled and we brought badness into this world. So the king said to him, where is he? And Ziba said to the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel in Lo Debar. Now, you know, these names, you can look up all the different names. Maker is the name, is in the house of sold. He's been sold. You and I have been sold into the old king. Right, we were born into sin, born separated from the King of Kings, in Lo Debar, which means no pasture. So he was sold into a place with no pasture. Jesus looked upon them and he said, they're like sheep without a shepherd, right? They have no home. Then the king, David, verse 5, sent and brought him to the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lo Debar. And Mephibosheth, which his name is kind of a rough name. Like he's like, there's like living shame, or he's been cut off and there's shame. That's what this man's name means, is that he's been broken. He's been cut and there's shame in his life. And you and I, we were born into this old kingdom that there was shame in our life, right? And the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, it would be the grandson, right? Came to David and fell on his face and prostrated himself and said to David, and David said, Mephibosheth. He said, Mephibosheth, our king calls us by name. It says in Galatians chapter 4, verse 9, that we know God. Rather, we are known by God. To be known by God. Jesus is the one who calls us by name. Just as David called Mephibosheth. It's the first thing he says. Have we responded? And he said, here is your servant. There's a brokenness. There's a prostrateness, right? He's humble. That's one of the keys to come to the Lord, that we would be humble to recognize that he's God and we're not. And David said to him, do not fear. He said to him, do not fear. How many times in the scripture does Jesus show up? Does God show up and said, be of good courage. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Because I know from my life for 25 years, I was dominated by fear and different things, and I tried to hide it and try to fill it with things that did not satisfy. They would for the moment, but they left me with more emptiness. But this is what our Jesus says to us. Don't be fearful. You know, as we sung earlier, I'm no longer a slave to fear, but I am a child of God. For I will surely show kindness to you for the sake of your father, Jonathan. Now, I love this because there's favor being shown not for our sake, but for the sake of the one before us. And that's the sake of Jesus, right? We have been shown favor because of the one that went before us. To you, for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and we will restore to you all the land. He came from a place of no pasture. He was sold into the bondage of sin. But now he is in a place where he will have his land, his pasture restored. All the land of your grandfather Saul, and you shall eat at my table regularly. Now, Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden because of their sin. But you know what? One day, God's going to restore everything and bring us back into the garden, right? The new heavens and the new earth. And it's going to be good. We're going to have new bodies, and we'll get to this even more a little bit later. And to eat at the table regularly, that's the first time. Jesus said, as the last time I was with you, you know, he's not going to eat or drink of this until, right, the coming again of the Lord. There is the wedding feast of the Lamb. We're going to be taken out of this tribulation, right? But there's going to be the wedding feast. And we're going to eat at the Lord's table to be able to be one. So this is the first time he says that. And again, verse 8, he prostrated himself and said, "What is your servant that you should regard a dead dog like me?" I don't know about you, but I still feel that at times, that I have no worth, that I'm just a dead dog. And the problem is I look to myself. I look at my weaknesses, my brokenness. Then the king said to Saul's servant, Ziba, and said to him, "All that belongs to Saul and to all his house I have given to your master's grandson. You and your sons and your servants shall cultivate the land for him, and you shall bring in the produce so that your master's grandson may have food. Nevertheless, Mephibosheth, your master's grandson, shall eat at my table," that's the second time, "regularly." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. There's a lot of people to serve. And he had his land restored, just as you and I. We were bought into Satan, but we have our land restored. Just as Mephibosheth was in hiding, you and I, we hid from our king because they thought that he was evil and was mean. I don't know. You guys may hear, "Oh, the big guy upstairs," or, "Oh, God is evil." And that's what I thought for years, that he didn't care. But David's reflecting the very heart of God, the nature, the character, that he just wants to show goodness. And you and I, maybe you're watching this and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you went to school with me and you saw the ugliness of my life and you just happened to click in. It's the goodness of God that leads men to repentance, that God so loved this world that while we were rebelling against him, that's when he died for us, that we would be his demonstration of his love, right? That we, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, that we would not be condemned, but that we would be brought into the household of God and that we would be children of God. So in verse 11, Ziba said to the king, "According to all that the Lord the king commanded his servant, so your servant will do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table. That's the third time mentioning that. As one of the king's sons. As it says in Ephesians, you and I have been adopted into the family of God. He should have been killed, Mephibosheth. He was lame in both feet. He was hiding from the king. He didn't understand. But he got brought in as one of the king's sons. You and I are the children of God. What an amazing thing to be loved of God. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah, which means who is like God. And all who lived in the house of Ziba were servants to Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth lived in Jerusalem, for he ate, there's the fourth time, at the king's table regularly. Now he was lame in both feet. It ended that he was lame in both feet. Now, I don't know about you, but there is now, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are a new creation. The old things have been done away with. We have been brought into and been invited to the Lord's banqueting table, that we can be his. That we thought the king was bad at one point, just as the prodigal son. Maybe we're on one side or the other of that. Maybe you have wasted and squandered all the riches that God has given you. and you're eating with the pigs and thinking, wow, I deserve to eat here. Even the hired servants at my kingdom or my dad's house are eating better than I am. And he comes back and there's a repentant heart and he's planning what he's going to say. And guess what? He doesn't even get to say anything. The father runs to him and falls on him and kisses his neck. That's the character of our God. Maybe you're the other brother that's been righteous and has been doing right and feel that they've earned it. This is all of grace. It's unearned, it's undeserved, it's unmerited. That's what David said, I must show kindness. I want to show the Lord's kindness because God has been kind to me. That's the character of God. Maybe we've been that upright brother. Both of them have been wrong. It's the good and loving father is the right one. So we see here Mephibosheth, all this whole list of things, and he ends, he was lame in both feet. You and I are going to get new bodies. It's going to be right one day. But you know what? Today we live broken, and maybe you feel you've been super broken and all that's going on. We're going to go ahead and skip to somewhere, chapter 19 of 2 Samuel. Mephibosheth shows back up, right? David takes off. There's battling going on within this, and David's wondering where he's going. And there's actually, Ziba kind of does some crazy things a few chapters back. But in chapter 19, he says, verse 24 of 2 Samuel, then Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, came down to meet the king, and he had neither cared for his feet, nor trimmed his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came home in peace. And it was when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, why do you not go with me, Mephibosheth? I don't think he was angry there. I think his heart was calling out. So he answered, O Lord, the king of my servant deceived me, for your servant said, I will saddle a donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame. Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like an angel of God, and therefore do not do what is good in your sight. For all my father's household was nothing but dead men before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table the fifth time. What right do I have that I should complain any more to the king? So the king said to him, why do you still speak of your affairs? I have decided you and Ziba shall divide the land. Mephibosheth, verse 30, said this. Mephibosheth said to the king, let him take it all, since my lord the king has come safely to his own house. I love that, because Mephibosheth, all that mattered to him was to sit and to eat at the king's table. No matter what riches on this earth didn't matter. It was just to be with his king. And I love that, right? I love the heart of God. And it says in Galatians chapter 6, maybe you are in that place. Maybe this, you know, where you're at, you've really been broken in sin. It says, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. That restoring is the resetting of a broken one. Broken bone, I'm sorry, resetting a broken bone. Maybe you've been lamed through your walk, and God wants to restore you, and God wants to use other people. He is the restorer of that. He knows our lameness. He knows our brokenness, but he invites us to come. Jesus stands at the door and knocks to the church, and says, I stand at the door and knock, and anyone wants to eat, I will come in and I'll dine with him. He is waiting to dine again with us. Maybe we've missed the goodness of our King, forgot the kindness and the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. So we love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. Have your hand upon us, Lord. Lord, you are such a good God, and I forget how good you are. And Lord, sometimes we get lamed and maimed in the midst of our walk today. We just come to you and ask you that you would reset that broken bone. It takes time, Lord, and that you would bring others with humble hearts to come along to do that. You're a good God. You're worthy of worship and praise. Lord, we just want to say we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.